Well, our scripture this morning is part of a longer passage of scripture which includes a discussion on how a husband and wife should treat each other. But the whole longer passage is all about relationships. I'm just going to read the part about the husband and wife, but the whole passage is about relationships between people. It's from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 3. And incidentally, if you use one of the pew Bibles or the songbook, just leave them on the seat when you leave this morning, and they'll be sanitized before next week. So, 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Peter says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." Now, I'm not going to preach on wearing gold jewelry or dyeing your hair or anything like that this morning. I think this text applies to all of us, whether we're married or not. We're all in some form of relationship with one another. That's what I'm thinking about this morning. We have family, we have friends, we have co-workers, even the server that brings us our lunch when we go out to eat. We have a relationship in different ways. And some of these people we have relationships with, we can talk to easily. Others we're not comfortable sharing personal things with. There are some with whom we can freely discuss our faith. And there are some with whom we avoid the topic at all costs. Whether we talk to people or not, we model our Christian faith by how we do things, how we act, how we live. And that's what Peter was talking about here. We're going to look at how Peter wanted us to be an example of our faith. And we'll also look at how the world tries to lead us in a different direction. And finally, we'll look at how we can be better role models, some practical ideas for how we can be better role models to people around us. First of all, Peter says, be an example of your faith. Now, in the early church, there was apparently a challenge with some Christian believers who were married to unbelievers. Either one partner in a marriage would become a Christian and the other would not, or else one Christian would marry someone who is not a believer. But some women were married to non-Christian husbands, as Peter speaks, and they needed some spiritual guidance. Because when a woman married, it was assumed that she would follow the faith of her husband, whatever his faith was. And it was unlikely that she would challenge him about it. But here in our text, Peter addresses this very specific situation where conflict apparently could arise or maybe had arisen between two partners in a marriage. Peter describes a wife who's a believer, but a husband who is not a follower of Jesus. Either he's rejected the message, or he's ignored it, or whatever the reason. However he looks at the gospel, he doesn't believe in it. Now, men were considered the leaders of their families. It was very patriarchal back in those days. Women got very little consideration. You have come a long way, baby. But that meant that the husband ran the family. And so how can a wife convince her husband to believe in the faith that's so dear to her without starting an argument, without challenging his role as head of the family, and maybe without disgracing him in the eyes of their friends? How can she do that? Because respect was a big deal, a very big deal. And so were appearances. Women followed the practices of the Romans and the Greeks, pretty much, by dyeing their hair in bright colors and stacking it high up on their heads and wearing lots of jewelry and dressing in fine clothes. Sometimes fortunes were spent on wardrobes and makeup. They must have produced some stunning-looking folks. But outward appearances were of the utmost importance to them. But what Peter is focusing on is the inner beauty of character and heart and faith. He addresses this concern of maintaining a peaceful, respectful relationship in the marriage. He says they should win their husbands over not with nagging, not with arguing or protesting, but with a gentle, quiet spirit, and through inner beauty rather than outward appearance. He's not saying it's wrong to wear jewelry. He's simply saying, pay attention to your inner spirit. He's advising a way to build relationships and demonstrate the gospel by being an example, showing our faith in the way we live our daily lives and demonstrating what being a Christian is all about. And this is more important than decorating the exterior. But the world we live in has some different ideas, a different example to follow. And peer pressure is a big factor in that. I'm sure you're all aware of it. Our peers might try to convince us to do something or follow the crowd, and if we don't get in line, we could be excluded from their group. Or they could even make fun of us. Peer pressure has led a lot of people to do things they never should have done. And that's not something just kids have to deal with either. Adults too. A few years ago, I read about a new type of robbery that was threatening to gain popularity. People would pressure their friends into joining in, and they'd get a big bunch of people. Based on the idea that police can't catch everyone, the whole crowd would go into a store, all enter at the same time, everybody grab what they could, and then leave. Hurriedly. In a few cases, more than 300 people participated in a robbery like this, and more than $30,000 worth of merchandise was stolen. Now, would you let somebody talk you into participating in something like that? I hope not. But many people did. Because that's on the me. Me, me, me mentality. What's in it for me? What's good for me? And there's a lot of that that goes on. And then there are social networks. There are more than 65 social networking sites today, they tell me. I don't know all of them. I've heard of Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. And, of course, there's Facebook for us old folks. But there are a lot of others. But these apps have made it easier to connect with people all across the world and can do some positive things. A while back, there was a challenge on social media asking people to make a video of themselves getting a bucket of ice water dumped on them. Remember the ice water challenge? That increased awareness of the disease called ALS. Or Lou Gehrig's disease. And it actually raised over $115 million for research into that disease. So that was a challenge with a positive example. But there's also been a bunch of them without a positive example. For example, the Tide Pod Challenge, which was a dare for people to make videos of themselves eating laundry detergent to see who could tolerate it the best. Yes, people actually ate Tide soap pods. And the trend got so bad with kids being injured that the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission issued a warning. 8 kids were reportedly killed by eating Tide pods. So that was an example that should never have been followed. And there was a hot water challenge. You remember that one because there was a child here in Kentucky who was visiting a friend, and the friend's mother poured boiling water on him. And an 8-year-old girl in Florida died after drinking boiling water through a straw. She had seen it on YouTube. So society has a lot of examples. A lot of examples of poor behavior that they want us to imitate. And we really ought not to go that route. People look around to see how they should act and how they should dress and how they should treat people. People are seeking something. They don't always know what they're looking for. They may be looking for God and not realize it. But our example can be seen even if it's not heard. We can bring our character and our attitude to the people around us and perhaps even cause them to ask, why are you so different? That's a question we love to hear. But actions speak louder than words. Actions indicate how we really feel about things. Our actions can reveal our inner thoughts, even if we don't want people to know our inner thoughts. How we behave in our public and private lives can impact those around us, and not just those closest to us, but those who happen to be near us. What kind of example do we show in the way we live and behave? That's the focus of Peter's words in this passage of Scripture. When it comes to examples, of course, Jesus was the clearest and best example any of us could have. So in the time we have left, I'd like to share 3 ways that we can follow his lead and be an example to others. First of all, we can be an example by serving those around us. In the upper room the night before Jesus was betrayed, he celebrated the Passover meal with his disciples. And he gave them an example that they didn't expect. He rose from the table. He poured water into a basin. He sat down in front of them and washed each of their dirty, dusty feet. And when he finished, he said, I've given you an example that you should also do just as I have done for you. He showed us that no one is above serving. He was a true God who humbled himself by stepping out of heaven and becoming a man. And he continued to serve while he was here by doing things for others, by healing them, feeding them, teaching them, leading them. That's what it's like to be a servant. Putting aside pride and ego and self-interest and getting to work doing things that need to be done. Jesus demonstrated how to step forward and do the lowliest of tasks and do it willingly and do it gladly. That's the example of a true servant's heart. Maybe we can show our faith by serving a little more often. There's a passage in Philippians, which is one of my favorite scriptures. I don't have time to read the whole passage. But In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." And then he goes at length into describing how Jesus humbled himself, even unto death. By serving. Second, we can be an example by showing forgiveness. Jesus also demonstrated how to forgive, how to turn the other cheek, even to those we might think don't deserve to be forgiven. He said, "I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." He asks us to forgive all people, including those who try to harm us. Now that's more than tolerance. It's doing good to those who are full of hate, who are outwardly hostile toward you. And one of the best examples was when he was on the cross, hurting from the pain of being beaten, his body broken from carrying the cross, bleeding from the nails in his hands and feet, and his first concern is forgiveness to those who were doing this to him. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Forgiving those who hurt us, that's a really hard thing to do. But it's what Jesus showed us and the example he set for us to follow. Perhaps we can show our faith more clearly by forgiving more freely. And third, we can be an example through the love that we share. Jesus' entire ministry was about love. One of the more well-known phrases that Jesus spoke was his summary of the Ten Commandments. Did you know he made a summary of the Ten Commandments? Someone asked him, "What's the greatest commandment God ever gave?" And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four have to do with our loving God, and the last six have to do with our loving our neighbor. Loving God, loving everyone, just the way we want to be treated. Sounds so easy, doesn't it? But there are times when it's really hard to do. When our sinful priorities get in the way and we put God last, that's not love. When we focus on ourselves rather than on the person next to us, that's not love. Love is putting the needs of others before our own needs. It's the opposite of taking care of number one first. Love is caring for others first, praising God first, being patient and kind with others first, then taking care of our needs. That's the example Jesus gave us, and the example we can try to emulate. Perhaps we can work on loving others, even though it might be a hard thing to do. So wherever we go and whatever we do, we're all examples of what Christians look like. We represent Christ. We represent the church. With what we say and how we say it, our conduct, our attitude, everything we do and can show the hope and the grace and the faith that's in us. And Peter was trying to tell us to be an example of that faith, so that those who won't hear the gospel maybe could see a small glimpse of what the good news is and how it can change a person's life for the better. Jesus showed us a servant's heart, how to forgive, how to love, by being an example to the people around us, by serving others, forgiving freely, and loving often. we can set forth the example that Jesus showed us. All of His ministry was a work of love, and the example He gave us was to love God, to love our neighbors, yeah, even to love our enemies. We sing an invitation hymn this morning, number 439, to encourage you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ if you haven't already made that commitment. But let's stand while we sing the first and the last verses, number 439. My life, my love, I give to Thee. The Lamb of God who died for me. Oh, may I ever faithful be, my Savior and my God. I live for Him who died for me. How happy then my life shall be. I live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. O Thou who died on Calvary to save my soul and make me free, I'll consecrate my life to Thee, my Savior and my God. Live for Him who died for me. How pretty then my life shall be. I live for Him who died for me, my Savior and my God. Will you pray with me? Thank You for this blessed fellowship, our Heavenly Father. Thank You for Your Word, in which we find the way of righteousness. Help us now as we seek to walk in the steps of our Savior. Help us reflect to the world what He can do in a life that's surrendered to Him. May our lips and our lives testify to the amazing grace and power of Jesus. We ask all this in His name. Amen.